Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In this episode, we're welcoming in Don Ross for the second time. Don is the founder and creator of Manhood Tribes. Don has served as a pastor and ministry leader for the past couple decades and has led and worked with men in a wide variety of settings. He loves the outdoors, beach, and mountains, please. All things Lord of the Rings, and has a slight addiction to Coke Zero. He lives with his wife and two sons in Raleigh, North Carolina area, USA. Don, brother, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on the second time. This is you're setting a precedent here. I think I've had one other guy that was on the second time, and yeah, just really excited to have part two happening today.
Yeah, well, what a really cool privilege. Thanks for having me back, Mark. It's good to be here.
I mentioned it super quickly to you just before recording, but I want to put a shout out particularly to Scott in Heroic Husbands Men's Circle Group One. It was Scott particularly, but it was a bunch of the guys we had like done. We had a few minutes together. Just we were waiting for the guys to come in for the circle, and yeah, just a passionate 3-4 minute conversation. Just came forward, and it was the week after your episode went live, and the guys were just fucking loving it. And it was Scott particularly whose son is really that at that beautiful coming of age
Yeah.
space. And Scott has been like myself, like so many guys out there, you start waking up yourself psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and then it comes upon you. It's like, wow. What's my role here as a dad? You know, how do I
Yeah.
do this consciously? So it just Scott was like, Mark, you've got to get Don on again. And it was like, okay, it just shook me. It rocked me. It's like, fuck, I can't even say no to this man. He wants it that much. Hence, man, with that level of passion, it was really stirring the spiritual soul of these men.
Well, very
And
cool. That's fantastic. I'm, glad that I can be of help and excited to be back today and hopefully can continue to, bring some good stuff for your guys.
yeah. Don, conversation one, episode one, like we sort of went in blank canvas and we got into a deeply beautiful spiritual conversation. Actually, it was one of the most profound conversations I've enjoyed with a guest, very much into Christianity, Christian
Yeah.
teaching, spirituality. So my God, like we definitely set the foundation. I will say to guys that are listening in now that maybe this is their first time listening in to you. If you're new, I'll be putting it in the podcast description, the link to the first conversation. Definitely the boat. This is a special part two. For guys that might be coming to this really fresh, Don, could you give a super concise? I know you've 3 steps. Three steps. We went into a very deep dive on the five marks of manhood. We really went in there, and I think that's where a lot of the passion and the wording there inspired so much in the guys. But could you give a really brief outline of the 3 steps? And I believe this session will go into specifically the third phase, that initiatory rite of passage phase. But just to give a little bit of a lay of the ground, for guys listening in for the first time to your wisdom.
Yeah, that's great. So, so when we're talking about how to help your son become a man, I have kind of said that there's really three kind of key ingredients that need to happen there. The first is that you've got to give him a clear vision of what it means to be a man. And that's really where we kind of talked about the five marks of manhood, strength, courage, skill, honor, and allegiance. And I've just said that those are the things that every man needs to possess in order to demonstrate what it means to be a man. And so we kind of walk through all those in detail, as you said. But we live in a time and an era where we as men, but especially this younger generation, our sons' generation, is really going to struggle with figuring out what does it mean to be a man. There just aren't any clear indicators in Western culture anymore of what manhood is all about and why it's a good thing and how to be able to pursue it. And so, as dads, it really kind of falls on us to say, if your son is going to get a clear vision of manhood, it has to come from you. It's not really going to come from anywhere else. In fact, if he's looking around the culture trying to figure out what is being a man all about, he's just going to be confused. There's so many different and competing definitions, a lot of them really bad, a lot of them really antagonistic. And so as a, you know, as a dad, we want to be able to say, hey, manhood is a good thing. It's worth celebrating. But we've got to give our sons a real clear picture of what we mean by that and why it's worth pursuing. So that's the first step. The second step, would be that you've got to give him opportunities to practice being a man. So really kind of taking those five marks of manhood and just saying, hey, let's try these things on, you know, like see kind of how the shoe fits a little bit. He's got to really practice getting better at some of those things. And this adolescent stage of life is really the best time, I think, for a boy transitioning into being a man to really kind of figure those things out, to start to really be able to say, yeah, like, I can show up in these areas and have something to offer. You know, the goal that we're arriving at there is trying to get our boys to a place where they can say, I don't know everything, but I know enough to be able to show up in this space and do something, you know, offer something, be able to contribute. That kind of sense of I have what it takes to be able to, you know, figure this out, make something work, solve this problem, you know, those kinds of things. I call it the settled confidence of manhood. You know, we want our boys to be able to kind of arrive at that settled confidence of knowing that they're a man, and feeling like they can show up and have something to offer in pretty much any situation where something is demanded of them. So those are the first two: clear vision of manhood, opportunities to practice being a man. And then the third is that he needs a dedicated season to advance from boyhood to manhood. And that's really what, you know, kind of traditionally has been called a rite of passage. There's got to be some kind of time where the season of boyhood is coming to an end, the season of manhood is beginning, and there's some kind of something that takes place to kind of mark that transition from one to the next. It's been true in pretty much, you know, all cultures throughout history and geography. Like, you look anywhere and in pretty much any culture that's doing manhood well, they've had some form of rite of passage for the, you know, whether it's the father to the son or just kind of the group culture of men to the younger generation of boys. You know, there is an invitation into joining the men of the tribe or of the community or of the, you know, whatever. And being able to say, yes, you have passed from boyhood, from childhood, and now you are into our ranks. And, you know, we still need that. Our boys still need that. That's a natural part of how they're meant to develop as men. And again, in Western culture, that just doesn't happen anymore. You know, there are no kind of traditional rites of passage for the most part. You've got a few vestiges of that still left in places like within the Jewish community. You have the, you know, the bar mitzvah, which I think still holds some of that kind of rite of passage sense to it. But, you know, there's just not a lot of examples of that anymore. There's not a lot of places where that's occurring naturally. And so, again, it kind of falls to us as dads to say, if my son is going to advance well into manhood, it really is on my shoulders to help make that happen. Now, I don't have to do it alone. I don't have to do it by myself, but I do need to be the one taking initiative on his behalf.
It can feel like such a big responsibility. I mentioned to the guys listening in, we have two daughters, blessed to have two daughters, and I can feel that pressure in my queen, in Matilda. She's like, you know, in the last number of years, it's like Anya, our eldest daughter, she's 13, going on 14, and boy, just looking on that, it's like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that through the girl, and I'm seeing, like, you know, studying masculine and feminine dynamics, and obviously in my marriage, etc. Like really looking at it with true eyes, you know, our second daughter is 9. It's like, yeah, she's bold, she's brash, she's really up and at it and owns her truth. She's still definitely a child. But on our eldest, like 13, going on 14 now in a few months' time. I mean, the energy that she puts out, the psychology, how she speaks, how she holds herself, how she wants to express, like she's red hot. It's that red hot feminine. And she's in walking through society. It's like, because I suppose in many senses, like we have definitely in recent years allowed a lot of the sexual energy. We speak a lot to masculine and feminine. She's submerged in a culture that brings that. She's very comfortable in all of that. and yet she hasn't a fucking clue
Yeah.
as to what does all of this new hormonal power,
Yeah.
all of these new
Yeah.
feelings, what, like, you know, like, for example, and this is obviously, it's, I'm actually really wanting to relate in with the story, albeit I don't have a son, but it's, Matilda was out in town recently, and a sort of that coming of age power of there is that need to have that transition. She's very observant, but Matilda noticed that she just was looking at these pair guys, and hey, they weren't the most, Matilda, like, just had a read of energy without being judgmental, but a discerning parent. There was like, they weren't the type of characters, they were sort of shady characters, and Anya was caught looking at them, gazing over at them. But it was like that childlike gazing over at them. But she was wearing and does wear, and she's actually, you know, hormonally and has developed a womanly body.
Yeah.
These dudes were looking back, but they weren't looking back with a naive childlike energy.
Right.
They were looking back with, you know, it's like, she's fucking checking it out. And like,
yeah.
And it, that was like a, we've been having lots of these experiences. So it's just speaking into the space with you, you know, this rite of passage, Matilda's feeling that pressure, leaning in. Okay, what's her role as a mother? So I'm just passionately curious to hear more about, hey, for, if it's not for me directly, you know, for guys listening in, what does that look like? Where do you guys enter that story? You know, assuming, and you know, the episode one, there was so much practical information there. You know, those five marks of manhood. That's, the guys fucking loved that, and that's what, where the feedback was. It was so practical.
Yeah.
But how did he enter this story of phase three, this specific transitionary period, the season of going from boyhood to manhood? What does that look like?
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I'll say a couple things to kind of start answering that. One is that the good news is that it still involves the five marks of manhood, right? So we're still dealing with this definition of manhood that we're trying to get our boys to move into. So we're not getting far away from that definition. We're still using that as kind of our framework to be able to help them understand, you know, this is what you are progressing towards. This is the vision that you are advancing into, you know, so we still want to use that. A second thing I'll say is to maybe give a little bit of an idea of what it's not when we're talking about a rite of passage. So, I don't know what it's quite like in your neck of the woods, but over here in the U.S., this idea of a rite of passage has kind of caught some popularity in the past, probably, like, I don't know, 20 years or so. I think just as, you know, men's movements have kind of gotten a hold of a sense of, like, we need to be doing more to, you know, help with what it means to be a man, and especially helping our sons. You know, rite of passage is something that's been kind of, like, notably absent in our culture, and there's a lot of different groups, faith-based and not, you know, that have been trying to, you know, kind of step into that space and say, we need to do something, which I think is great. You know, the more the merrier, honestly, and the more attempts that we have at trying to do that, I think that's really good. But what I see a lot of is guys and even organizations of men that try to create a rite of passage that's essentially kind of like a weekend, or even just like a night, like a special night ceremony kind of a thing, you know, where it's we get together, we eat a really cool meal, you know, like lots of meat, you know, something cooked over the fire. There's, you know, there's swords involved, and look, I've got no problem with swords, you know, but we're just like, we're bringing out all the manly things that we can, you know, into one particular ceremony. And, you know, maybe there's other guys involved, and we're speaking some really encouraging things over our son, you know, kind of saying great things about him, projecting some great things into his future. All that's really good. And it kind of ends with a sense of, like, you know, almost like, you know, we're kind of dubbing you as a knight, you know, but we're dubbing you as a man, you know, kind of like this marks your passage. Look, that's not a bad thing to do. I will just say, I don't think that that's enough in terms of what it really takes to help a boy actually advance from being a boy into being a man. It's a cool ceremony. And I, you know, I think without a doubt, it will create some memories that will last for him. And that's a really good thing. So, you know, if the choice is between doing nothing and doing that, absolutely do that. You know, like, that's certainly not bad to do. But I do think that in terms of what it really takes internally to help the boy get to the place that he needs to get to, in terms of feeling that settled confidence of, I am a man, I am accepted by other men, it just takes a little bit more than that. So Actually, the way that I went about this with my own son. So my two sons now are one just turned 16, one's about to turn 14, and I went through this kind of program with both of them. I actually created something that's called First Tribe, and it's really kind of a rite of passage program. It takes place over the course of 9 months, and you do it with a group of dads and sons together. Now, those two things I think are both really important. The timeline doesn't have to look exactly like that, but again, we're talking about a dedicated season here, not just a dedicated event, right? So we're going for a season. And the reason for that is that the boy really needs time for this stuff to be able to start to sink in. He needs to start seeing himself in the world of men and coming to a place where he can accept that. That's not typically going to happen in a night, you know, or on a weekend. Like that's a longer process. And so that's why we try to do it over the course of 9 months. Now, on our end, that really just kind of looks like we get together as a large group, like all the dads and sons together once a month. And I can go into a little more detail about what those gatherings are. But then in between those things, there's some things to do, just you, dad, and your son. We do some manhood challenge stuff built around, you know, whatever we're kind of talking about in the particular gathering that we just got finished with. We do some movie nights, which are really fun ways to be able to continue talking about the five marks of manhood and just kind of look at stories and characters that, you know, we love as men and just kind of be able to say, like, what do we love about those things and why is that worth emulating or not, you know, and just ways to be able to pursue that. So it's not like, you know, over the course of 9 months, it's not like your schedule's just jam-packed with, you know, every day you're doing something intentional with your son. I think that would wear out any dad and any son as well. But it's spread out enough to give the son time to be able to reflect on, learn from, come to grips with all the things that he's encountering over the course of this season. So that's kind of really the idea. I painted a lot of, you know, kind of broad brushstrokes there. You give me some idea of like where you want me to go with that, and we can get into the finer tooth details.
I totally love the painting it real. It's like I personally maybe tiptoed around with guys initially when I was connecting in with guys, is because I thought it was like, oh, salesy, or oh, it's a bit too much. But I've just realized over time myself where you got to get black and white. I really honor where you say it's like, hey, yeah, a day, weekend, cool, better than nothing, but it just doesn't cut it. And it's just to get black and white within ourselves. You know, it's like this. I when you said that, I can only imagine, you know, the vast majority of even like there's the speaking to the son and his process. But it's the dad's nervous system too, going, "Hey, like there's both happening, there's both happening," and I can imagine, like, you know, the day or weekend idea. It's like probably for the vast majority. I know there's initial conversations I was having with Anya. Definitely not, you know, like the I'm not the father son thing, but there's still I've been getting more involved in that in that process. And the first couple of conversations, they're awkward, and it's like the awkwardness slowly but surely. I mean, the weekend, it's like probably both trying to get over that fucking awkwardness that we're doing this thing together. Whereas over the 9 months, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. That's just giving both men time, you know, boy becoming man and dad time to just go, okay, we're fucking doing this, you know. And I don't know what there might be different timings for different guys, but at some point, both are dropped in as it deepens. Love that idea. It's that self-mastery sort of approach. You got to go to it. The timing, there was reflections coming up for me because I haven't studied this specific per se, but when you were talking about the timings, I read Robert Bly's book, Iron John, and that's very much based on initiatory rite of passage, et cetera, et cetera. There's specific parts, and I'm curious as to what level of challenge. I have specific memories, and I think from the book and in other videos and stuff that I read or listened to, historically they've got pretty fucking extreme, the challenges. You know, from and that's like part I know one I remembered was like in sub-Saharan Africa, it was like literally, okay, you're a boy until you. There's probably plenty of other things around it, ceremony, etc. But one of the ultimate challenges was, you know, bring your spear, bring your dagger, go out, carry a dead lion back over your shoulder, son, you know, and like only then are you man. I'm there's this real masculine core of me as like, I get that. I'm simultaneously fucking glad that part of the process is not there anymore.
Right.
And yet there's this sort of ancestral curiosity going, fuck, I get it.
Yeah.
I get like, where are you in the balance? You're clearly talking about challenge, but what are the key challenges? Like what, at what level, to what intensity, to what depth does that look like?
Yeah. Well, that's such a great question. And at like, for a whole lot of reasons. And here's kind of the way that I would go about that is to be able to say that manhood in all cultures has always been relevant to its environment. Okay. So that doesn't mean that manhood is different in every place. It just means that men always have to rise to the level of expectation of the way that they are needed in the environment that they're in. So, you know, what you're talking about there, I think if I remember right, is from the Maasai tribes in sub-Saharan Africa. And, you know, for their environments, maybe not, I'm not exactly sure what their culture still looks like here in the 21st century, but, you know, in recent history for them, slaying a lion was, you know, like that was an important part of being a man because that was relevant to their daily lives. You know, were you going to need to kill a lion every day? No, not necessarily. But if a lion, you know, or a pride of lions was causing a threat to the village, were the men going to need to step up and be able to do something about it? Absolutely. You know, like that was the world that they lived in. And so that was an appropriate challenge for a boy because of the environment that he was in. Now, in our Western society, is that the type of challenge that our boys are going to face as they head into manhood? No, not really. And so it's not that it isn't cool or it doesn't bring up, you know, something like you're saying, kind of ancestral and tribal that's really good in men. But it frankly just isn't necessary. Like it's not needed in our environment. So it's probably not the right kind of challenge. That being said, you know, if we look at our world in Western culture, it can start to feel like the only things that our boys need to be challenged in is like how to sit at a desk all day and use a computer. You know, that's also in some ways kind of missing the mark. You know, there's something that I think is lacking about masculinity. And I think really even some of the reasons that we're in the crisis that we're in Western culture as it relates to manhood is because we have gotten too far away from some of that kind of primal nature of what it means to be a man. But you know, I'm digressing. The point is, we try to create challenges in this first tribe experience in the rite of passage that are really geared towards what I would call the four big questions. So we kind of lay out the 9 months based on four big questions. So we're trying to say, hey, what we want to do for you as dads, so, you know, what we as dads want to do for you as sons is to help answer some of these really big kind of like worldview shaping questions for you to help you understand what is the world that you have found yourself in? You know, what's the environment that you're a part of? What is going to be expected of you as a man and how to be able to live those things out? So the four questions that we address are, who am I? We start with that, which is just basically about identity. Like, okay, let's start with you. Who are you? Well, let's help you orient yourself to your place in the world. The second question that we address is, who is God, right? And, you know, just as a reminder, I'm coming from a faith-based background. And so I've built a program that really kind of exists in the world of saying, hey, we believe this is God's world and we're living in it. And so if that's the case, we need to understand who he is, you know, to really be able to adequately navigate the world that we're a part of. So the second question is, who is God? The third question is, what am I meant for? Okay, so if I've got a good understanding of who I am, and who God is, you know, kind of the world that I've been born into, what is my purpose? Like, what am I here for? You know, what am I meant to do in this space that I've been given? And then the last question is, the fourth question is, do I have what it takes? And this is really, that last question is really kind of, you know, getting to that place of like settled confidence. That's, you know, that's really kind of what I've talked about. That's really what we're aiming for the boy, that he can come to the place of saying, I know who I am. I know what this world is all about. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And we can talk about that more specifically. But I most importantly know that I have what it takes to actually do all of those things. Like I am capable of showing up as myself in this world with a purpose and actually being able to accomplish it. And if a boy can get to that place, then, you know, like, hey, the world is his ocean, you know, like he can do whatever he wants to do. He can go for it. He can make it happen. And things will turn out good for him for the most part. And so that's really kind of, you know, what we're going for is if we can get him to answer those questions, then we should be good. And the manhood challenges then are really built around, you know, how do you test the boy in some ways relative to that? So I'll give you a for example. I think we may have talked about this one on the last podcast episode, so maybe I don't want to repeat it. Did we talk about like the manhood challenge that I give my boys about having to have a conversation with a girl? Did we talk about that the last time?
I don't think so. Okay. My curiosity is picking up, so I don't think so. But
okay, so this is a really good one then. So in the question about what am I meant for? Okay, so we're about, you know, by this point, we're about 3/4 of the way through the program when we're getting to this question. So one of the things that we would say a man is meant for is to love a woman. That's one of the answers that we give to that question. Okay, we're going to say that, hey, one of the things that you're going to encounter in your world is that you're going to need to be able to love a woman effectively. And that, you know, we don't have to get into all the ins and outs of exactly how that plays out. But the point is, most guys are going to encounter that as a part of their world. And doing it well is an important part of being a man. So we kind of talk through that. You know, what does it look like to love a woman well? How do you do that responsibly? How do you handle yourself? How do you have a conversation? We even kind of get a little bit into how do you handle your sexuality? Is that starting to kind of bloom, you know, in you at this point in your life? What are some good ways to handle that? What are some really bad ways to handle that? You know, we kind of talk through all of those things in detail. So then we give them a manhood challenge, which is to say, hey, you know, and most of these guys are somewhere between, you know, 11 to 15, maybe skewing a little bit younger in that frame. And so, you know, the challenge is you need to initiate a one-on-one face-to-face conversation with a girl. You know,
I'm preferring the option number two. Slay a lion. Yeah, I'm going to the lion, dudes. Like, yeah. I'll fucking throw stones till it dies.
Exactly. And look, man, that's, I mean, when we present it to the boys, you know, at that time, just the moaning and groaning that takes place when they hear that that's what they have to do. It's hilarious. But it's so much fun. And that's where you begin to see like, okay, this really is appropriate. This is an appropriate challenge because, you know, one, like I said, this is going to be something that's going to be a part of their world for most of them, you know, for the rest of their lives. And so figuring out how to do this well is really important. But two, their generation is growing up in a time where having face-to-face one-on-one conversations with anyone, but especially someone of the opposite sex, just isn't a thing anymore. You know, like every communication they do is digital. And so learning to actually have the communication skills that are necessary to carry on a significant, meaningful, in-depth relationship are just lacking for them. You know, they just don't have those skills. At least they're not coming to them naturally. So, you know, that's why it's an appropriate challenge is to be able to say, hey, just because the world is becoming increasingly digital doesn't mean that that means, you know, that you can have a wife that you never actually talked to. You know, it's not going to work that way. So, you know, you got to learn how to be able to have real conversations. And so, you know, this is kind of a, like getting your feet wet in that regard, you know, like learn to, okay, it's up to you. You've got to initiate the conversation. You need to know what the conversation is going to be about and how you're going to start it. What are some questions you're going to ask her to be able to keep the conversation moving? You know, like just like helping them plan and learn how to actually carry on a dialogue with a female. It's a really good thing. And it's fun to watch them squirm as they figure out how they're going to do it.
I'm like, number one, the poor bastards. Number two, outside of humor, there's a grief coming up for me because I'm like, oh my fucking God, how much I was yearning this. Yeah. Like literally tears to the back of my eyes. Like it's the worst moments. Yes, I fucking dug deep and it's like Tony Robbins, you've got to make your worst moments your best moments. Yeah. So I'm proud of the man I've become coming through all that. Yeah. However, I'd be fucking bullshitting myself, guys listening in, and God, if I denied, a different way. You know, like just that challenge. I had to, and I believe in our first conversation, like, I mean, drinking colossal amounts of alcohol going into college years,
Yeah.
and it was all based on that one thing. Actually, how do I face beautiful woman, a woman I find beautiful, attractive, and deeply meaningful to me? My nervous system, my heart is sort of locked
Yeah,
in,
yeah,
and like,
yeah.
how do I do that? Face my fears, facing my unspoken inadequacies, everything, call it neurophysiologically, emotionally
Yeah,
regulate and
yeah, yeah.
get the fucking job done. And that,
Yeah.
do I have what it takes? These questions, when you were speaking them, and there's like so much wisdom coming through, but it just makes so much sense for me. And I look back at myself entering college, it's like when that initiation should have already taken place. It's like I was like, ultimately, I felt fucked out into the world, still ultimately like a 5-year-old sucking his thumb, going, yeah,
Right.
I can, I've the big body, I'm tall, I'm doing the big university thing, I'm
Yeah.
academically shit hot, so I can sort of put it out and put a facade that I'm successful. I was fucking dying on the inside. I had
Right.
no
Yeah.
idea who it was. I look back, it was deeply spiritual, hence first conversation went as deep as it was, went really into that. But like, who is God in the culture? Nobody, that conversation wasn't allowed. So I had no idea. I was very ungrounded by that. What am I meant for? I was doing a fucking course that I didn't care about. I know,
Yeah.
like, I wanted to
Yeah.
do psychology. Nobody took me to the side and said, hey, it's cool. If you're super curious about psychology and all of that, that doesn't mean you're fucked up. That's just your natural curiosity. Like, it probably would have been one conversation. I would have been fine. So I ended up meandering in a different career. So many guys do that. And then, yeah, do I have what it takes? My entire work now in the last 4 or 5 years is answering that.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling so liberated now. I turned 40 last year. Like, better late than never. But that guy's listening to you that have sons, to have their heart, nervous system, go through that when
Yeah.
they're 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is it just it's so essential. I'm there's so much emotion coming through me now. I think it's just digesting
Yeah.
the lack of not having had it.
Yeah.
And what I, when it's so crystallized in your words, it's like it's validating a big hit in my soul of what I
Yeah.
missed.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I hear that. And I think that's I think what you're saying is the story of most men. You know, it is in pretty much throughout all of Western society, we live in places where men are growing up unvalidated. You know, we are growing up without any kind of sense or direction and left to just figure out the world for ourselves. And we're making a colossal mess of it. You know, like we don't know what we're doing. And it's because we as men have really failed to pass manhood on to the subsequent generations. And I think if we can recover that, it doesn't mean that, everything is going to be hunky dory and the world will set itself aright. You know, it's going to take way more than that. But I do think that that's a really needed step, is just for men to be able to step into this space and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this for my son. Like, he needs it, but I need it as well. Like, I need this sense of what it means to be a man and a validation that I can step into this space and actually pass this on to my son. Like, I need that as well, you know, just as much as he does. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I think that's the more that I interact and work with guys, the more that I hear that same story, is that we're all in that place of kind of like, a buddy of mine compared it the other day to fumbling around in a dark room and just like stubbing our toe on the furniture all the time. You know, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how things are laid out. We don't know what the obstacles or the goals are. You know, it just, and so it's no surprise that we make a mess of the world and we make a mess of ourselves. And yeah, this is meant to help set boys up. It doesn't mean that they're not going to move into manhood and make mistakes. They absolutely will, you know, but you're trying to give them a framework from which they can, you know, plot some things out. And even when they make mistakes, figure out how to course correct, because they have a sense of, oh yeah, I know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I get what I'm supposed to be about. And if I get off of that, I know how to get back on it.
There was a story as you've been speaking to this, and that fumbling around in the dark. We were over in Matilda's home place in Italy during the summer. And her dad is he's done like a lot of psychotherapy, so it's like on a level he's been going to psychotherapy for years. There's a part of myself, he's not going to be listening in. I love the guy, great guy, but it's like he knows how to talk about stuff. But he was recounting a story, and he was sort of irate about it. He was looking at it. He had heard a colleague of his talking about this is a guy sort of early family years, I don't know, whatever age, but he like some young kids, and they were out doing Via Ferrata. It was in the Alps in a summer trip, and the guy sort of froze, like freeze with fear. Whatever, there was a pitch that his nervous system, he just became overwhelmed and he couldn't move on. And his wife sort of, by the report, was sort of embarrassed and sort of was speaking, sort of speaking bad about him. Oh, come on, for God's sake, and shaming him. And my queen's dad sort of was like berating the woman, sort of going, oh, how dare her? Like, I mean, that was disgraceful. The guy, you know, he was very much empathizing with the guy's experience. And I remember just having the conversation and going, yeah, well, you know, that's really important for her. Yeah, she might have been unskillful. Yeah, she might have like chose better words, and yeah, she mightn't have, you know, not shamed her husband in front of people. But it's like, hey, Stefano, have you considered what that means for her emotionally going around? I mean, if her husband is there and he can't do this 10-foot, yes, it's frightening. But if his nervous system has not, and I'm going to tread it in here, you know, do I have what it takes? You know, that ultimate thing. Do I have what it takes? You know, clearly this guy, and man, I could speak, you know, so many. I'm not going to speak my own manifestations of not feeling I had what it take. I tell the guys all the time about my own examples down the years in marriage. But this guy clearly didn't feel he had what it took to feel the fear and just get his hands moving and his feet moving and just fucking get through it. You know, just get through it. Total overwhelm, fear, sweaty hands, but I get through it. He literally froze. So it was like, for me, I could see it, and I could see the amount of times my nervous system did that, and I would sort of get, I was attacking my queen, I was blaming the world. I just didn't have that. I know what I have, what it takes. So it's like she was living, I imagine, intuitively now knowing situations, like she was living in a world of, yeah, well, if he freezes here and he can't get through it, he freezes when he goes to get the, you know, the accounts, or in work, he's talking about the promotion, but you know, we're not paying the mortgage, and he's talking about it. He doesn't feel what he has. If somebody attacks him on the street, he just goes to freeze. So who's actually the protector of the family? Who has to step in and lead? His queen. But it was, I've used that example as almost like this modern sanitized take on masculinity. Like there's no roles. Matilda's dad couldn't see. Fuck, that's the man of the family that is unable to shake fear off, and his wife is having to step in probably on many different arenas of life to lead. So it's like what we're facing as a generation, and obviously trying to prevent happening to our sons, is just that role of man, of being a man. It's like, feel the fear, but you're able, and you have that question answered. I am able to do what it takes.
All, that's so good, man. I mean, that's a beautiful illustration. And yeah, I love how you put it, you know, from her perspective as well. It's like she's just summoning up what words she can find to be able to express, if you don't have what it takes, then that means that I have to. And that's not a place that I want to be in. You know, like that's not what she's meant to be expected of, you know, but you're kind of forcing that on her because you're not showing up when you're meant to. And you know, it's just I think it's reflective of you know, the fact that kind of where we are, you know, cultural moment wise, like we are upside down in the West as it relates to gender, you know, and we don't have to, I don't really want to get into discussion about gender roles and, you know, culture wars and all that. But the point is, like, there's no more confusion around gender probably ever in Western history than there is right now in this moment. And you know, so because of that, it's no surprise that our boys are going to be confused, you know, and that's why we as dads, it is on us to have to step in and to be able to say, we're going to do something about it, you know, and it honestly, you know, from what I've laid out, you know, like, I want to be really clear. You know, I've talked about doing like a 9-month program, and there's all these different aspects to it. And, I want to be really clear with guys, like, it's not as hard as it sounds. Like, helping your boy become a man is not as hard as maybe it might sound, you know, as we're talking through it right now. Part of why I created this program is because I wanted guys to be able to have something to step into, to where they could say, okay, this isn't going to be as challenging as I maybe initially thought that it was. You know, I'm trying to like take down some of the barriers of entries and give guys an opportunity to be able to step into something and say, if I can do this, this will help my son. And, you know, I think that's really the goal, because at the end of the day, honestly, what a son needs is his dad, you know, or is some other father figure in his life. He needs that relationship, you know, somebody, and preferably even some bodies, you know, multiple figures in his world who are telling him that he is accepted into the world of men. And not just telling him, but are pointing out things in his life that they're able to say, this is why we accept you into the world of men, you know, and that's where kind of going back to what I was saying initially about like the ceremony, like the one night ceremony is really good at telling a boy that he is accepted into the world of men. But if the boy doesn't understand why he's accepted into the world of men, he will always struggle with actually believing that he is accepted. You know, and that's where the season, the process is really more important, is because the boy has to come to that place of seeing, oh, I get why it is that they are accepting me. I understand, and I see those things in myself, and that makes sense that they would accept me into their world. And I can believe that I belong there now because of, you know, what they've seen in me, what I've seen in myself, and what they have said about me. You know, all those things kind of have to be in place in order for the boy to get there. And, you know, I think that's where I've tried to create something that guys can just, you know, not exactly just plug and play, because you got to be involved. You know, it's not just a video series. There's work on your part to do as a dad. But I think it gives you some framework to be able to say, yeah, I can do this, and this will actually help my son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely the level of engagement. I'm just all over that. I get super enthusiastic. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, fucking yeah. You know, it's like, yeah. It's not, I've seen, and again, I just want to over communicate. I can get black and white and unapologetically. So, if you're listening in over time, you'll definitely with marriage therapy. I've heard a lot of, you know, it's like, just go to therapy, get fixed. Right. Like there's something broken. Yeah. It's like, there is an approach. Yes. And it is a healing way that it can be useful, but there can be so often this type of thing that there's something broken that you need to fix it. When in actual fact, you know, it's like, oh, there's, you know, send our kids to whatever therapist or whatever thing, because there's something in them. It's like, man, the most healing, you know, presence on the planet for a son is dad.
Yeah,
I say it to guys. It's like, yeah, hey, you know, your queen has wounds, and definitely there's a time and a place and a great value. However, the most healing presence on the planet for your woman is you.
Yeah.
You know, your heart, your love, your breathing deeply, just fucking being impeccably with her, just shutting the fuck up and listening, you know. And it's like, it's different guys for, you know, an intimate relationship with your queen versus with your son versus with me with my daughters. But it's like, just, I love that and what you're saying. It's like, men have the power. And they are the one human on the planet that is like just spiritually, biologically, evolutionary, psychologically perfect for that role.
Yeah.
But over time, not a weekend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When we start out the first tribe process, you know, we start with that question of who am I? And the first answer that we give to them about that is, you're a son. Like, your identity begins with understanding that you are a son, and that even as you advance into manhood, you remain a son. Like, you don't ever stop being a son just because you become a man, or even because you become a father. You know, like, your identity as a son doesn't ever change. And, you know, all of us as grown men now, you know, can really see that, like, all of the ways that we encounter and engage in all of our important relationships are shaped and affected by what it was like to for us to be a son, you know, what our growing up years were like, what our parental relationships were like, all the lessons that we learned or didn't learn, or the answers that we learned, you know, all of that as a son, that all shaped us. And so, you know, we try to help them understand, like, being a son is really important. And that's why as a dad, your role is so critical. It is so critical to help your son be able to understand who he is, and that that you validate and approve of him as a man, are in, and are inviting him into your community of other men. So, yeah.
John, what I'm curious about is, definitely the curiosity is there from guys listening in. But I do know, in like guys coming to men's work with myself, Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, there are certain key blocks inside themselves psychologically, where it's like, yeah, the really conscious mind, I really love the idea. Yes, I want to be, I want to get coached, I want to do this work. But there's this shadow, there's this part, the inner critic, there's doubt. And there's certain key signs that keep coming up for guys entering Heroic Husbands Men's Circles that I end up answering quite a bit. What are the, have you noticed any patterns in men when they're speaking with you of inner obstacles, or are there any patterns of the voice in their head where it's like, yeah, Don, I fucking loved it, I listened to episode 1 and 2, but there's this handbrake. What are some roadblocks within guys that maybe guys could become aware of, that if they were like, yeah, oh god, wow, so that's a more regular thing, are there any patterns there?
Absolutely. And you know, I think most of them just revolve around that idea of, do I have what it takes? You know, and they come out in the form of thoughts that are kind of like, well, that sounds really cool, but I don't know that I could ever do that with my son, you know, or who am I? Like, I'm not qualified to lead something like that. Like, you know, maybe I could jump in if some other dad who's like a really good, you know, kind of super dad was doing it, I could do it with him. Which, you know, that's not a terrible idea. It, you know, that's better than nothing again. What I've really tried to do with this program is to remove those barriers, you know, to just be able to say, no, look, you don't have to be super dad. You don't have to be the spiritual guru in the room. You don't have to be the, you know, the expert at manhood. You don't even really have to have your life together, you know? So, I mean, let's just be honest. Like, the important thing here is that you're going to need to pass something on to your son, and your son is going to be smart and wise enough to be able to look at your life and say, Dad, I don't know that you made the best decisions there, and I don't want to repeat that, but I appreciate the fact that you are trying to pass something on to me. And he's going to need that, whether or not he, you know, you feel like you're the best dad to be able to give it to him. Like, you're the dad that he's got, you know, so make the most of that and do what you can to pass manhood on to him. So, you know, I would encourage every dad who's listening, who's got a son in that age range, you know, 11 to 15, to just say, Dad, you do have what it takes. You have what it takes to be able to offer something of significance to your son. Now, it's, for some of you, it's going to take more courage than it is from others to be able to actually step into that space and do it. But I promise you that maybe all you're really lacking is actually just courage. You're not lacking manhood. You're not lacking spirituality. You're not lacking wisdom. You know, you're just lacking the courage to be able to actually step up and say, I'm going to do this for my son. And I think that's the answer to being able to find that courage, is to just look at your son, you know, to be able to see, he needs this. Like, I'm doing this not for me, not because I'm confident and competent in and of myself. I'm doing this because he needs it, and he's not going to get it from anybody else but me. So I'm going to give it my best. And, you know, and really, like, you know, coming from my faith-based perspective, it's, I'm going to give it my best, and I'm going to trust that God is going to use that how he needs to in my son's life. And I, you know, I'm having to do the same thing. Like, I'm the guy who's created the program. You know, I ran it a couple of times with my own boys, but I'm having to do the very same thing, which is to say, I'm going to do my best with my boys and trust that God is going to accomplish what he wants to with that in their lives. Because like I can't control them. You know, I can't control the decisions that they make. I can't control even what they do with the wisdom that I impart to them. I can only do my best at offering it to them and helping to position them well as they move into manhood. And then, you know, hope and pray for the best that they use all of that wisely and effectively. But I can't make all of that happen. I just have to have the courage to offer it.
Don, it's my second conversation with you, and I have to just discipline myself and go, Mark, we ran over time with the first one and we didn't even get it all in. There was Scott and other guys going, dude, he didn't get to speak about the other. You have to get him back on. You have an infectious enthusiasm, and the words is like, it's proper medicine. You know, it's like that.
Thank you.
It really, that, the words in me is like, there's that lack. And I know what guys, you know, what you're speaking to there, like they mightn't feel like they have the courage, and that's the only part. But it's like, you know, guys listening in like myself, none of us, I say this to guys, you know, when guys come in and, hey, you know, like what you were saying, you don't have to have your life all tidily put together to do it. Most guys come in and it's like, hey, it's a shit show behind the scenes.
Yeah,
they might have like certain things going, but they feel like there's an inner shit show. And it's really just going, of course you don't. Of course guys listening in don't have their parenting together, don't have their life together, because we didn't fucking have this training. We had none of this.
Yeah.
And it's like, how amazing are guys listening in to have gotten to hear with their 10 out of 10 best carving it out. But yeah, I don't know if guys listening in can resonate, but man, if I could go back myself, and if my dad could have listened in to you, Don, and just had triggered and had that one burst of courage to go, fuck it, I'll do this. I mightn't feel complete and able and prepared or ever ready, how my life could have been different. And I'm really hoping that guys, I know guys have been super inspired the first time, but for the guys that are feeling that clarity now, Don, and in the culture here, I'm black and white. It's like, guys listening in, inspiration isn't worth shit. It's inspiration followed up by implementation. Guys that are feeling inspired, they're feeling it hot, they're feeling a passionate curiosity, and they're like, fuck yeah, I'm nearly there. What's the next action that they can take at the end of this podcast episode, assuming that they're on their device, laptop, listening in?
Yeah.
Where do they click to take the next action to follow up on that passionate, courageous curiosity right now?
Yeah. So if you're at the place where you've got a son who's in or about to be in that age range, and you want to look into doing some kind of a rite of passage program like that, you can check out what I've got, which is called First Tribe. You can go to myfirsttribe.com and it'll give you all the information there about the program, what you would do to purchase it and sign up and get it running. I'm able to help, you know, in all kinds of ways with that as well. So I'm accessible through some email information that if you sign up for the program, you get that too. It does come with a physical kit, and right now I'm shipping those to the U.S. So if you've got some guys that are international, you know, or international for me, you know, local to where you're at, it just may take me a little more time to kind of figure out the shipping logistics to get some stuff to them. But, you know, we can definitely work that through. So, yeah, myfirsttribe.com. And if you're a guy who's listening and you don't, you know, only have daughters or don't have a son that's in that age range, or, you know, no kids at all, but kind of want to stay connected to these ideas, I actually just launched a podcast called Manhood Tribes that really kind of covers a lot of what we're talking about here, both for, you know, dads with sons, but also just men in general. And that's a great way to just kind of, you know, stay relevant with that content. If you're not ready to kind of take a step yet, it's a good listen.
Don Rossbritter, thank you so much. Generosity to come in once was exceptional. I wrung out as many minutes and went beyond. And thank you so much for coming in a second time. It's really, really appreciated, man.
It's my privilege, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Guys, the gauntlet has been put down there. Like, open invitation, but I'm just going to back it up and go, like, more in your face here. If you have a son in that age range, I mean, you got to honor the next generation. The mantra of the movement here, again, it's better husbands today, better world tomorrow. But it's like, better fathers today, better world tomorrow. And I don't know, just thinking here is like, we all will meet our deathbed, but on that deathbed, I know my front and center is being a great husband, but like being a great dad, you know, you are able to respond to supporting what the next seven generations is going to be about. And man, there's no greater gift to the world than gifting your son, if that is at the core of your attention in this episode, the best foundation under his feet, knowing the answer to all of those four key questions, culminating in letting him know he has what it takes to nail it in the most beautiful way in his life's journey. Thank you very much for listening in. Perfectly, as I already said, in alignment with this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow, and better fathers today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful, kingly day.